And the thing to do it would be to do it, you know, a day early,
right,
so that we could have it all available,
yes,
online, posted, so that we could give people the URL to it who call into the Blog Talk,
yeah,
Radio, so they can see it and they can look at it.
Okay.
Okay, and the question will be on the elemental array for Blog Talk Radio, what benefits have we obtained from studying Promethea? Okay,
yes,
so.
And that's what I ask as a group or individually.
And that's Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I hope you're going to be there, Joy. This will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm planning on it.
Good,
yeah, you
good.
Said that I've got it down at 5 o'clock my time. That's Eastern time.
Eastern time.
Okay, good.
So
yeah.
What time do you have it where you are now, Joy?
I 5 Eastern is 3 Mountain, and that's what I had in my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So
yeah,
what do we do? I mean, is it just long talk radio or what?
Okay.
Well, we're gonna talk. Johanna's gonna talk you through how to get to this thing.
Okay,
yeah.
But I mean, actually, during that,
Cynthia
has arrived.
There's
yes.
Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia. Hi. I'm sorry. I was across the street. I usually walk in the mornings on Wednesdays and Fridays, but today, because of the weather, they were inside, and to get out was difficult without.
Oh, well, I'm glad, because I didn't hear from you last night. I thought you had an allergy attack or something.
Oh, no. Everything is weird, but okay.
Well,
okay.
We actually haven't really started yet. We've just been chit-chatting. So.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, we were waiting for you.
Oh, thank you.
So, Paul, what you told me last night is that there's a telephone number and that what we should do is just call in.
Yeah.
Just
call. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you want to, you have to register if you want to be part of the,
chat room. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're saying
when I'm talking under, when I'm actually talking, I'm not going to pay much attention to the chat.
That's basically for the benefits of the host, the people who host the show.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, the chat room is for the benefits of the bored listeners.
Yeah.
We're going droning on about some esoteric matter they don't have anything about. They'll start talking about, how you're doing? Are you feeling better?
Paul, when you say we have to register, if we're already registered on Blog Talk Radio, I'm assuming all we have to do is just go there.
Well, yeah, but then you have to sign in.
Yes. Okay.
Whatever your registration.
Okay.
It's not a big deal.
Now, what time is this going to be?
5 o'clock Saturday.
5 o'clock. All right. I'm going to try. We have a dinner engagement on Saturday, but. You know, maybe we won't have left it at that point.
Yeah.
Right.
It's sort of like your appetizer.
Well, yeah.
Right.
I'll try
and make it my appetizer.
Okay. Well, what it is it's going to be an opportunity for each of you to reflect in your own fashion. What's the question again?
What benefits have we obtained from studying Promethea?
Yeah, so you can reflect on the things that you've benefited or the insights that you've had or how it's been such an incredible waste of time.
I think we wouldn't still be coming back if that were the case, Paul.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Whatever your cumulative experience has been, your own personal experience.
Okay.
You know, speak from your own voice. Don't worry, I'm not. I'm pretty thick-skinned, so got any criticisms. Well, it would be really great if Paul hadn't talked so much.
No. And when are you going to do the array that's for the benefits to the group in general, Johanna?
Well, we're going
to
do it a little bit ahead of time so that on the internet so people will be able to access it.
Okay, mm-hmm. Are you going to let us know when it's out there or do we just need to?
Just give me 24 hours, that's all. Just,
okay.
I mean, I'm home today. I'm not doing much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're up to chapter 6?
We're up to the last.
We're at chapter 6 now.
Which is what?
Next week is the last chapter, which is the great mandala. and the great esoteric recap of the entire.
Okay. Thing. Yes. Okay.
And if we got started earlier today, I would have said we could have tried to have done both, but I don't think we're gonna. I don't really think we've got time. Let's get the cards done.
Yeah, as soon as we draw the cards, I need to be off of here for about 5 minutes, but I'm not going to hang up. I'll just be gone and then I'll come back.
Okay.
Don't think I just vanished, okay?
You
yeah.
don't have to do a mute just in case.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, the first card, death.
And where do you go from there?
The second card, two of swords, peace.
Oh, well, I guess that's a place to go after that, yeah.
Third card, Knight of Wands.
And that's King, right?
King, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fourth card, the Star.
Mm. Now, that may be the first time the Star's ever occurred.
Mm. I don't know. I don't
recall.
Well, if it has occurred, it's been a long
time. Yeah. Long time, yes.
Yeah.
The fifth card, Hidden Motivations, is the Six of Discs. Success.
And what did you say the name for that was again?
Success.
Success, okay.
The sixth card is the Lovers. Six and six.
Yeah.
Six card, six position. Okay. The Sun is... Oh, sorry.
The seventh card is what?
The Sun.
Wow, the Sun. Okay.
This is kind of cool, you know?
This is a very cool one.
The eighth card is Ace of Wands. And the ninth card is the Hanged Man.
Wow, lots of majors here. Yeah. This is a good reading. This is great.
Well, for those who read the chapter before, I don't know because I don't read the chapters before because I don't want to influence the reading.
Well, thank you. That's a nice sacrifice you make for us. Anyway, well, I will be back in about 4 or 5 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Well, I mean, just looking over, I think death makes sense. In some ways, you know, this is the, this chapter is, you know, what happens after death. In fact, it's quite clear that that's what it is.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, that doesn't even, I mean, that's stated in one of the dialogue things. And if you look at the picture of Promethea, you know, for issue 31, look at that. What card does that remind you of?
Oh, wow.
Judgment.
Well, where are you? Which one?
Oh, I see what you're saying, Paul. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is not my great... I just read that in the PDF. You want to know where I get all my insights?
where are all these wonderful insights coming from, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's not like I... You know, it's not like I you know,
okay,
like
at least you're not claiming the fame, right?
Yeah,
like some other people do. Yes, this is my wonderful insight. Some people we know.
Is that Andy Warhol coming out of that bottom?
Yes, that's Andy. But I don't know who are the other ones.
I wonder if that's Fran Lebowitz.
Fran Lebowitz is still alive. I just saw a thing on a documentary on her.
Oh, maybe that is a wonderful documentary. I just thought that was great.
Oh,
she's got a wonderfully wicked wit, I think.
Oh, she could. Yeah. I would love to have a cup of coffee with her and sit down and talk.
Same thing. Yeah. Speaking of New York movies, classic New York movies, it's a few years old now, but it's called something like Kissing Georgia Stein.
Oh, I've seen that, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I thought that was funny as hell.
Yeah.
I never saw it before.
Yeah.
Probably because I assiduously avoid the woman's channel on cable, but I inadvertently looked at that one. It was incredibly funny.
Well, the woman's, just because it's a woman's channel, you know what's so funny is that the movies have some sentiment and feeling. The Spike is not really a...
Yeah.
I mean, if you want blow 'em up, tear 'em up movies, you go to the men's channel. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Where do you find the men's channel and the women's channel?
Yeah, there's a what do you call it? There's several of them. They're but they're not listed as women's channel.
Yeah, well,
you have a women's channel? Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah, actually, like in HBO, they have a woman's channel, HBOW.
Mm.
And I don't mean by that West. I mean they have a channel that's specifically oriented towards women. And,
there's several channels on cable that what are they? Come on, people. That are women, female
Lifetime.
Oriented. Lifetime, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
usually deal with romance, you know.
Or problems that women face in the world, like,
I started to watch that, Victoria's Secret, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lingerie show. They jumped around so much that I felt I was gonna go into an epileptic set.
I know.
They were close cutting. I guess it was as a male, I wanted my eyes, lap over these long-legged creatures out there. I finally figured out what the something rather walk is, where they walk, sort of where they're going to trip each other,
yeah, the strut.
The strut. I said, I can do that. Yeah. I'm going to practice that strut a little bit. Unfortunately, my legs aren't long enough.
Right.
All right. Well,
and your 5-inch heels won't make it, right?
You have to
wear
your stilettos.
You got
all right. So, by the way, at the beginning of this thing, since we're gonna, I guess we should assign parts now. The beginning of the thing, this is a dialogue between Sophie and Peter Hansard. You know, he's the blind guy. That's why it's in the dark.
Ah.
And I had to figure that. I it was a PDF instead of I had anonymous blind things, but it's Sophie and Peter. And then we also have Henry and Prue from the temple, and we have the lost children. And of course, I want to be Faust.
Yeah, of course.
And I guess I'll be Hansen too, because David's not around. Whatever happened to him? And then we've got Texture, the weeping gorilla, Trish.
Well, you have to be the weeping gorilla too. You've been the gorilla the whole time.
All right. So what I'll do is I'll play all the male parts. You can fight over the rest.
There's not much of the rest, actually. Well, there's a little bit towards the end, but most of it's Prometheus.
Trish and Juan, and then there's the Prometheus, and there's Promethea monologue, which is pretty long.
Yeah, it is.
There's another Sophie and Stacia and Lucille. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I gotta see. You notice that Stacia now sort of looks like a middle-aged Mexican woman.
Yeah, it's
whereas at the beginning, if you go back to the beginning of it, she looked like a white girl.
Yeah, right.
How did she get so ethnic? You know, or did she just get a super tan from the end of the world?
Well, you know what I thought actually when I read this was that she had somehow become more Middle Eastern. Because of having been, reunited with Prometheus' father, and that kind of thing. So
yeah, well,
yeah, she's Middle Eastern. She's
living together now. In fact, I think
that's true.
Little Bambitos or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But the all right. So enough of my stereotypic.
Well, if they have Bambinos, one of their Bambinos looks definitely Afro-American.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
You know, I'm seeing the picture of Juan with the Bambinos here.
I think.
Hmm. Okay.
And they're saying it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Who knows?
Okay, so I just said enough of my...
Anyway, is it Juan? Is that her boyfriend? I thought Juan was her father.
Juan is Trisha's husband.
Yeah, but who is Promethea's boyfriend that she goes back with?
I thought he had the same name as her father. He Don Estrada. Estrada, yeah.
No, that is
her father.
Oh, that's Joey Estrada. That may be the guy she was hanging out with in the city.
Yeah.
Maybe she's back with him.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got plenty of female roles that we have to deal with. I don't know. Now, who is the... Now, because I don't read... Who is the white-haired dykey-looking...
These are actually... The characters all look a little different. That's Lucille, I think.
That's Lucille?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, that's Lucille.
And she does most of the talking here, Lucille.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Compared to the zombie-like girlfriend. But she has some lines, yeah. She has some lines.
Oh, that's Stacia's girlfriend, it's Lucille.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Stacia. That's you, Johanna. That's
me? Okay.
Yeah, now wait a minute. Maybe the white-haired girl is Stacy. I think that's Stacy, and the other one's Lucille.
Okay, look, let's figure it out as we read it.
Yeah, because we don't have enough people to really... Okay, so who's doing this?
Don't be silly. Of course I forgive you, and this is Sophie. Sophie says, starts with listen.
Listen, that's dog crap on the path right in front of you. You might want to go around.
Yeah, that's good.
As for what happened, it's just how everybody says it was like those dreams where you're watching something, but taking part as well, you know?
I mean, for a while there's at a peak I thought I was. Oh, that's, you keep going.
Yeah. I mean, for a while there was at the peak I thought I was everybody. We all did. Another thing was that, like, a dream was how time was all different. Nobody can remember what order things happened in. It's like we were all one person and had scrunched down to just one moment, and the whole world was like collapsed to a single place right where we were standing. Nobody knew if it was New York or Nairobi or Moscow or Manchester. Every town and village was one metropolis, one everywhere place. And the light was unbelievably bright.
Yeah.
Promethea, the radiant city. This is Prue. Somebody want to be Prue?
Oh, God, Henry, the sun. The sun's got a face. And I've seen the beast and the whore. Henry, I'm so frightened. I can't take this. I can't.
Prue, please don't cry. Look, come on, sis. We're good Christians. All the work we do with the temple will be spared. We'll be taken up in the rapture.
Silly, Grandpa. No, you won't. Everybody's all going up together. That's why they opened 32nd Street. She means the 32nd Path. Hello, Grandpa. Hello, Auntie Prue. Are you both all right?
Oh, God, Henry, it's them. They're alive.
But where have you all been?
We've been with the Piper Man, and now he's brought us back to bless you around. He didn't say that. We're supposed to help people get used to things.
Used to things?
Yes, like all our clocks being wrong, and all the dead people being still here, really. Come on, we'll show you. The lady's going to talk to everybody. Don't worry.
Go on. It's not very far.
It's not very far.
Okay, look, there's John Lennon. Somebody making out with a goat. Oh, it's you. Come on in. You are just in time to watch the sunrise. Go right ahead. Everyone's
It's you, good. I've been waiting a long time to talk to you. Come and sit by the fire. Thank you. Oh.
Thank you, but I'm not really here, am I? This room isn't real, nor are you. This is all a story, something I'm dreaming or reading.
Perhaps you're right. Although, isn't having a dream or reading a book a real experience? After all, real or not, this room is where your awareness is currently centered, and someone's talking to you. On the idea of the human imagination.
No. Go across the page.
No, I don't think so.
No, yes, it is.
Oh, does? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Well, yes, but, I mean, if it's a dream, it's my own subconscious talking. If it's a book, it's just some writer. Either way, you're a fiction.
Ah, you're wonderful. You're always so difficult. Oh, don't look hurt. I just meant that one of the reasons I love you, you're stubborn. You don't just accept things. Okay, now listen to me. Yes, Prometheus fiction. Nobody ever claimed otherwise. I never lied. I'm at least an honest fiction, a true fiction, a fiction that can enter your dreams, possess her creators, talk through them to you. I'm an idea, but I'm a real idea. Well, the wars, the romances...
No, now go back to the other
go page. Back to the...
I'm the idea of the human imagination, which, when you think about it, is the only thing we can really be certain isn't imaginary. No, don't say anything. Just hold my hand and listen. Your hand's warm, that's nice. It makes this all sort of girl-friendly. See, I'm imagination, I'm real, and I'm the best friend you ever had. Who do you think got you all this cool stuff? The clothes you're wearing, the room, the house, the city you're in. Everything started out in the human imagination. Your lives, your personalities, your whole world, all invented, all made up. All the wars, the romances, the masterpieces, the machines. And there's nothing here but a funny little twist of amino acids playing a marvelous game of pretend. Nothing here but me and you. Me and you, little life snake. By the fire where we've always been since this room was a cave. Do you remember? When you first thought you saw things in the flames, in dancing shadows. And you need me to tell you a tale, a story grand and glorious. Begun like all adventures with a bang, all space, all time, even this instant now explodes from naught into forever, an exceptionally lucky diamond pool break. Against all odds, had this explosion happened differently, we have a cosmos capable of forming solar systems, planets, life, of forming us to witness everything. This is the strong anthropic principle. Sentient life appears to be what all existence is contrived to engineer, the point of all these atoms, nebulae, and conflagrations. A midnight snow globe flecked with novas, happening all at once in four dimensions, all time, even time's end, caught within this glittering, endless hyper moment. Our consciousness, startling outgrowth of the universe, is possibly the most important part, the fraction of existence that can think, feel, marvel at itself. We are all space-time sensory organs, space-time's mind, our thoughts and lives naught but the three-dimensional material expression of its blazing and immortal soul. This jewel of being, big bang flared at one end, big crunch at the other, simultaneously, all going on right now, a perfect frozen fire. The world is young, our most remote ancestors not yet born. The world is old, and we have all been dead for decades and centuries. Don't you remember?
Oh, no, wait a second.
Mm. Yeah.
And what card does it remind you of?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The universe.
The world. Yeah. Wheel of Fortune.
The universe, yeah.
The Wheel of Fortune. I think the Wheel of Fortune, too. But the clock. Yeah. But both of them, both cards have the four curves.
Yeah, they do.
I love the graphics. I adore. Oh.
Yeah,
really good.
Mm-hmm. Even though Promethea looks like she's in a toothpaste ad, but that's it.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Irreverent
as that's
I.
True. That's
yeah.
true. Yeah.
My husband would say, "Oh, I'd never give her those teeth."
Yeah, he could have. Yeah.
And she's got your deck's eyes, Johanna.
Yes, and I feel vindicated. I feel vindicated. I really do because because if there's one last thing I'm going to get across.
That's right.
It's my philosophy. Okay.
Okay, we'll give you a chance to catch your breath, Promethea. Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
And you're doing an excellent job, by the way.
Oh, dear. Here I go and stumble. Complex, self-organizing life somehow emerges from the boiling clay of space-time, thin sparks of awareness, dust its countenance, plankton imperatives, and moss agendas, lungfish dreams. The Big Bang never ended. All things, every star, each world, each species, everything we make or do or think, all part of its continuing eruption. Here we stand for our brief moment, amidst the blaze and thunder, marveling as fire streamers from the blast sprout fins, flamingo feathers, Chrysler buildings. This astounding tumble into being, as if an explosion at a chemical works has somehow spat out an ornamental garden, a cathedral, and a zoo. All things are precipitated by the nature of existence. Nothing, therefore, is unnatural, be it beehive or termite bound, or all our shining poison cities. Everything is universe. Everything is holy. Life and consciousness. Creation's rarest embers, acridaceous DNA, a brilliant flaw, twists through this starry four-dimensional jeweled orrery. And all of us, the life snake's myriad contingencies, embroiled in three dimensions, suffering time's illusion, fear, our end. Don't understand, each second is eternal, here, forever. Our lives are bubbles, decades wide, suspended in eternity, each hour immortal. Triumphs, heartbreaks, heaven, hell, paradise, everything, everlasting, endless punishment. No instant ever dies. Live joyfully. Live well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, too bad they can't do a tarot deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the same thing a while ago. I'm amazed. Live knowing that you are already dust, long gone, already outside time, and looking in, reviewing life, finally understanding every deja vu, your own guardian angel. Know that the scorched black demons and the pristine fluttering seraphs are in some sense naught, but you yourself unpacked, unfolded in a higher space. From whence myriad gods unfurl, not bygone legends, but your once and future selves. Your attributes blossomed into the purest and most potent symbol forms. And with these, all their beast heats, crowns, and lightness, all their different colors, are become combined into a single whiteness that is Godhead, that is all. This, then, is revelation. All is one. And all is deity, this beautiful underlying fire being that is everywhere about us, that we are. Oh man, oh woman, know yourself and know you are divine. Respect yourself. Respect the least phenomena of your existence as if it were the breath of God. Know that our universe is all one place, a single firelit room, all time a single moment. Know that there has always only been ever one person here. Know that you are everything forever. Know I love you.
Okay, so So it looks, it's an interesting artistic representation of both the immateria and the possibility of our individual selves being a representation thereof.
We have the gods and goddesses looking down onto mankind, because you have Toss here of the Pharaoh, our guy, and whoever we have that we cannot totally. We've got who's the multi? Is that Shakti over there in the upper right hand corner? The
multi-armed, yeah.
Yeah, the multi-armed one.
That's Indra with Indra's net.
Indra's net. Okay, yes, good. Yes, yeah, I'm not. And then we have several others going around. Can we? Yeah. And, hey, come on, come. Let's try to identify. We've got Mercury.
Jesus,
Jesus. We have.
We have the. We have the sacred bull of Bithyrus.
Well, there's Zeus with some lightning flashes, and there's Mercury with the winged helmet.
Right.
Yeah. But rather than the depictions of the mythical characters, my point would be that the light, the true energy of this, is the individuations of the people.
It's at the center. I agree. And they're all looking in different directions and all seeing something different.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all one mind.
Oh, man. Yeah.
They're all one person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So let us continue with the soliloquy sermon of Promethea here.
Know that I love you in this room of warm and gathering shadows, in this velvet mother night, as the white glare of revelation fades. Dims to a prism tingle in the nerves, the mind, the heart. An afterglow. Rejoice, your world is ended. The belief whereupon it was founded turned to air before the quantum scrutiny of your new science, where never truly there. Time's jail yards are unlocked. The prison of matter, material ambition that reduced you, now demolished. Rejoice. Return now to yourselves, separate moments, selves, and rooms, and know that separation for illusion. Know that you were one, were here, and in eternity are here forever. Here, where sudden firelight in your soul startled you from your worldly slumber. Stay awake.
Now we're in, back to Sophie's voice.
Shouldn't someone else read?
Johanna, do you want to read Sophie? Oh, you're Sissy. I'll read it. So it was the same for me as everybody else. Just stay awake. Then blackness. Sleep, I guess. And when I woke up, I was back in my own life and she was gone. Just like with everybody else. And I looked out my window and at first I thought the whole thing had just been a dream. That the apocalypse hadn't happened. The world was all still there. It all looked just the same. Except it didn't. And it wasn't. For one thing, some guy two floors down had killed himself. There were a lot of people hurt themselves, or others, all across the city, all across the planet. We were all stunned, in shock, and suddenly it was summer 2004. But anyway, enough about me. We want to take a left here, incidentally. What about you? How have things been with you? You know, since the world ended.
Good, I guess. Yeah. Pretty good. I mean, I decided not to replace my artificial retinas, so I'm still sort of adjusting to all this. But it's better, I think. I'm happier. I don't know.
And you're still with the Fed?
Yeah, a lot of agents quit, like Karen and Lucia. Some of us are hanging in. The FBI is changing. These are elections coming up. Who knows?
Did I hear Dennis Drucker has rejoined the Bureau?
Ha ha ha, Dennis is amazing. It's like the apocalypse drove him sane. He's a terrific agent, and he has this happy relationship with his head, with, well, what a of those Prometheas, I suppose. Actually, I wanted to talk to you about that, this spiritual thing everyone's getting into. See, it's weird, since what happened, I find I'm drawn to the Baptist stuff. I used to argue with my dad about it. I probably have a different take on it than that. I mean, he has a different take since he died. I was talking to him in my imagination the other night. It was nice. So, like, I have this Baptist business going on, but at the same time, well, I'm sort of worshiping the pagan hearth goddess called Hestia.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It's okay to worship everything. I mean, it's not like there weren't going to be questions and choices after the apocalypse. What, did we think we'd all just go to heaven and there'd be no more problems or diseases or earthquakes? No, we all woke up the day after the world ended, and we still had to feed ourselves and keep a roof over our heads. Life goes on, you know? Life goes on. It's not even like there aren't still wars and murders and rapes. Everybody had the revelation, but not everybody understood it or took any notice of it. Though maybe enough people did. Things are changing.
Maybe you aren't sure.
Hey, I'm just Sophie. I'm not Promethea anymore. I ended the world. My shift's over. She's moved on, and I got my life back. Say, here's the bookstore, right ahead. Mining here today, Karen Bruegel. Babies on the... Can't read that. Oh, in the sixth...
Hey, Soph! Peter! We kept the place like we said, at the front of the line. See?
No, but thanks all the same.
Hey, Stace. Hey, Lucille, did you see Karen yet?
What? Since she shot me at me that one time? I'm sorry. What? Since she shot at me that time or this afternoon? Nah. With all this rooftop stuff taking off, she's like this very big visionary. We're waiting in line, like everybody else.
So, how are you guys?
Great. We're still doing all the chat shows you refused. Plus, I love Lucy, you know. Tell ya, she's totally my bitch. Ain't that right, Agent Scully?
Ha, I guess, you little fascist. So, Peter, how's work?
There's currently shakeups at the top. I'll tell you when the dust settles. Who knows? You might want to come back.
Stace, you look fantastic. Guess you and Grace split, huh?
Not exactly. I still have this thing going on with Grace in the Immateria. Sometimes in bed with Lucille, it's kind of a threesome.
And Lucille's good with that.
Actually, she doesn't know. Anyway, what's with you? Now you're not Promethea. You don't visit the Immateria anymore?
Not as much. Just dreams and stuff, you know. Life's real good. Did you hear I went back to college?
Soph, you are such a nerd.
Yeah, I know. I even finally handed in the Promethea paper that kicked all this off. Hey, and my guy Carl from Millennium, he moved here and got work. He's starting in animation, so we're living at Trish's place. We even talked about getting married. Carl mentioned some pagan ceremony, but I don't know, I kind of wanted a Catholic wedding with everything.
Eek, Soph, that's gross. That's way too much information. Okay.
That's you.
Yes, keep going.
Okay. I mean, do I talk to you about vibrators?
Well, actually, yeah. Anyway, I gotta go see Carl now. Take care, everybody.
See you, Sophie.
Bye, Sophie.
Is Texture. Since their recent wedding, male couple Jubila Cascade and Sunny Baskerville have announced their plans for the city. These include connecting homeless shelters and food programs with local regeneration schemes and experimenting with legalized prostitution in select tightly controlled districts. Speaking meeting yesterday, Mayor Cascade said, by combining tough decisiveness with a compassionate approach to New York's problems, we hope to achieve double penetration. This is texture. In other news, New York plutocrat Henry Royce has announced that the new Royce Temple Foundation will be run by his grandchildren. The children, missing and feared dead until a recent pan-global event, say the foundation will help people adjust to a post-event world. Speaking yesterday, joint chairperson Polly Royce, aged 6, said, "Everybody can stay up as late as they want. Do you like worms? This is texture." Reports just in from Millennium suggest that Tom Strong, deeply affected by personal revelations during the event, is permanently reconvening science team America's Best. New York heroine Promethea, apparently no longer physically incarnate, won't be included. Strong has assured fans that the full story of his experience during the event will eventually appear in his official comic book from ABC. This is Texture.
So I said, "Boss, the world's ended. Can you shove your job?"
Back home, New York's Millionaires Club welcomes its newest member, former science villain and sleazy weirdo Jack Faust, riding high on public post-event interest in magic. Speaking from his jacuzzi earlier, Mr. Faust said journalists could do what they will with their blinking interviews. This is texture. Elsewhere in New York, former Limp frontman David Sykes, formerly Monty or Montelmer Sykes, said he is working on a new album. "It's just a quiet little song released on a small label," he said. "It's called Aftergeddon."
It's Trish.
Oh, hi, baby. Me and your dad were just going down to help out at the mayor's drug rehab project.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Is Carl home?
Yeah. Mrs. Atansi, who located us after the apocalypse, she brought her twins round to babysit. Carl's minding them through there.
Oh, it's not...
Yeah. Bye, honey.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Bye, honey. Your dad says you look beautiful.
Thanks, Dad. You two have fun. So that's what they're doing. They're babysitting.
Mm.
Hi, Cleo. Hi, Marcus. Hello, baby.
Hey, I guess you saw your mom and dad going out. They told you Mrs. Atansi had dropped off the kids off them.
Yeah, she's nice. She just arrived here with the twins about a week after the revelation. How about you, sweetie? Has Uncle Carl been good?
No, he's too scratchy.
So where do you meet these two?
And we held hands and we jumped all the way down. We went wee, didn't we?
We met Sophie when I was stuck up a tree. Yeah, we went wee.
It's just being mysterious because I'm too scratchy. How about if I fix his coffee and get juice for Cleo and Mark?
Yeah, that sounds good. Hold on, I'll give you a hand.
Juice!
So anyway, how was your day? I missed you.
Hey, me too. It was great. There's a new project about seeing time in a different way. It's something I call 4D animation.
That sounds fantastic. I'm so glad you're here, baby. My folks really like you.
You know, I could nearly see your dad earlier. One arm tattooed, right?
Yeah, a winged snake. You know, he tells me I should watch you. He says you have dirty thoughts about me all the time.
Damn, how do you know that? Is that the supernatural insight or what?
I guess. You're sure you wouldn't prefer Promethea? I mean, she kind of took the boobs with her when she left.
Hey, come here. She was beautiful like lightning. She wasn't anything I could hold.
No, me either. You're right. She was lightning. She was a current passing through me. I've thought about that a lot, and hey, yeah, I get it.
Sure. And that's how the world ends, huh?
What do you mean?
I mean, it doesn't end with a bang, right? Or a whimper. It ends with a hey, yeah, I get it. Kiss me. So, a four-dimensional one that lasts forever.
Oh, aren't they just the sweetest couple? Oh, these are the Prometheus, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a kid.
Aren't they the sweetest couple? Well, Sophie deserves someone like that. She oversaw the apocalypse, the heaviest task of all.
Yes, darling, and the astonishing thing is, it didn't kill her.
Mistress Gray speaks truly. I died in childbirth. You, Mistress Margaret, took your own life.
Yes, yes, I did, after what I'd seen in the war. Mm. And the Night Queen had me poisoned and got poor Bill shot, but Sophie's fine.
So far. Oh, well, what if she decided to become Promethea again? She's still young.
Darling, that will never happen. You've seen how happy she is just being Sophie.
Yeah, besides, the Promethea spirit looks like it moved on from here, from her.
Oh, she is lazy. I bet yes.
I may have the Prometheus soul is after 16 centuries reunited with her father. Resting, her task completed.
Margie, honey, don't you shut your little pie hole.
Anyway, how do we know her task is completed? Sure, Promethea was needed to usher in a new world, but what if she's needed to help people adjust to it? Well, dear, Hermes, help us if that's true, because Sophie's clearly out of the running.
Grace, what are you saying?
I'm saying we'd have to get a new one. More moth wine, anyone? The end.
That's a wrap. Be here next time for our final issue and our spectacular wrap party.
And I want to know, how in the world are we going to make sense out of the next chapter?
Well, it's actually the monologue with, there's two ways we can do it. We can do it multi-voiced, but it's basically a monologue of the full, of the 22 major arcana.
Yeah, maybe we could just take turns. I mean, actually, Promethea does have bubbles in this one.
Yeah.
In addition to the other, you know, the synoptic bubbles, if you want to call them that. As opposed to the synoptic gospels, these are the synoptic.
You take a color, a text color, and then you read it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the only way I could see doing this.
Or just, you know, round robin. Somebody being Promethea, and then just everybody else round robin. You know?
Poor eyes. I hope I can see it.
It'll be interesting when the third volume of the deluxe Promethea comes out, how they handle
the visual.
Yeah, the visual, but also the, as you know, at the very end of the thing, there is a full pull out.
Yeah,
and I
haven't
think that what
yet.
They're going to do with the last one, they're going to have a very big pull out that'll be much bigger than the one that's in here.
I mean,
of course, this one is not readable unless you have
a... No, it's not magnified in my... Right.
Also, there is Creating the Dream, the making of issue 32.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's sort of an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we could read it... we could maybe read it at the end after things, but after we've discussed the thing. Speaking of discussing the thing, let's go back to our... So how do you deal with death? You know, it's kind of an interesting thing is that comes up here. This gives a symbolic meaning to Agent Hazard's blindness.
How so?
Most people, as you may know, think of death as nothing. In other words, when you're go to sleep and don't remember anything and you cease to have any existence whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens. There's, you know, there is no afterlife, no judgment, no continuation of consciousness. It's all dark. It's dead.
That's nothing. Exactly. It is no thing. Yeah.
And, you know, that's considered the, you know, the big surprise. Of course, the big surprise is that there ain't nothing to be surprised by because you ain't there no more either.
That's all dark. Yeah.
And so here we have fire, Yod, death, and we have the opening in the dark with this commentary, you know, basically asking for forgiveness in the post-apocalyptic world. And she actually almost said that word right.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, that's all. That's the only thing I wanted to bring up about it.
Well, I think death in this first position here is incredible because, to me, it represents the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. It is the total transformation. Well, not total, not quite, because some people still don't get it. But what I kind of take from the chapter is that enough people get it. There was a critical mass kind of thing going on, that enough people get it, that the new age, if you will, has been ushered in, in spite of the fact that there are still people who don't get it.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting take, not so much on death, but on a commentary, almost a political commentary, beautifully stated, very poetically, on this whole apocalypse business. You know, I hope I didn't offend anybody, but the whole born again thing, the good people are going to be raptured and everybody else is going to be left behind. And I don't know their take on whether apocalypse means death, because apocalypse means revelation. And that's definitely the way Alan Moore chose to deal with apocalypse, is a revelation.
Well, I agree. I'm looking at death not as physical death, but as transition.
Right.
Major transition.
Right.
Let's continue to look at that commentary line, because the next one then is the Knight of Wands in the air position.
Well, actually, it's two of swords.
Peace.
Peace.
Okay.
Two
of swords in the emotional, in the water position.
In the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Emotion, which they did demonstrate. A lot of them came to terms.
The people who, quote-unquote, get it have really found peace.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but the people who get it...
According to the storyline, yes, they found
peace. Well, the one thing that I thought was interesting is that Juan is still with the immateria, so he's actually a ghost.
Right. Well, they said,
it took me a while to get that, but I finally got that.
I don't think I ever got it until now.
It says, and during Prometheus' monologue, I think, somewhere back in the early part, it was the kids talking. It says, yes, like, you know, we're here to help people get used to things. So, like, all our clocks being wrong and all the dead people being still here, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that, I think all of these figures that we see throughout the next couple of pages that are in gold, kind of like the John Lennon, these are the dead people who are really still here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah.
It's an extraordinary thing to read, you know, philosophers or, for instance, Blake versus Newton, which he took on, Blake takes Newton on. The idea, they were really coming from the same place, but what he objected to was the systemization.
Yeah.
And Blake used to talk to his supposedly dead brother Robert constantly, and he had visions all the time. So what's interesting is that one is visible to some, but not to others.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that some people, like Carl, are beginning to be able to see him.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
It's a matter of degree, I think, rather than totally black and white, you know.
Right.
Even the people, I keep using this phrase, but even the people who don't get it aren't lost. They aren't damned. They just haven't got there yet. You know, they may get there eventually. So.
But let's continue with this line. Okay, so we have the Two of Swords. We have death, and then we have the Two of Swords, which we see as emotional integration of this thing. And then in air, we have the Knight of Wands, which is the King of Wands, right? And then we have the Star. So we begin with death and we end with the Star. And that in itself is, a major thing. And then, of course, then what we have is, I'm going to skip the hidden motivation, but the other major arcana are the Lovers and the Sun and the Hanged Man.
Yeah.
So what we have is we do have this progression with the basic line here, from death, which is the unknown, the dark, we don't know what it is, the transition, but it's at the beginning of the transition, not the end of it. And then it goes to the Star, which is basic hope in this case, that, you know, that there is an afterlife. And of course, the Star is in the Earth, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
which
so it's heaven on earth, kind of. Yeah.
Well, but there's another thing, which is a magical theme, which is understood by magicians and not necessarily understood by other people. The archetypes that people, you know, spend so much time thinking are so powerful and directive of their lives don't exist unless they become embodied.
Uh-huh.
So that there is a solidity to the earth. That makes it equal to the crown. I mean, this is, you know, if you look, we've talked about this, the Tree of Life, I think it was in Mott where we talked about how the crown and the earth were twins of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is well in the literature on Kabbalah, and here we see it actually being sort of broken out for us in this story, in this fiction, particularly in terms of how the fiction works, how from a dead uncertainty we come to, true hope.
Yeah. Or I would even offer from dead certainty. We think we have it all taped out, but we don't.
Yeah, that's the reason why, in terms of this reading, that we start in the dark, you know. And as I said, most people symbolize death in their own lives as the dark.
And yet, it's
you can't know anything. You can't know anything beyond this dark.
But it's in the fire position, which to me speaks of you have to be in the dark in order to spark something. I don't know, that may be reaching a little bit, but it's...
Well,
yeah, I think that's totally right on, right? That's,
My position is that, you know, what you think of you can go on, and there is something.
Yes.
I mean,
in the Rider way, the Two of Swords has her sitting there on the stone in front of the water. With a blindfold, half on, half off, the two swords across. And, yeah, I think that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
She
has deliberately gone into the dark.
Yeah, she's sitting with death, so to speak, in this reading. And the spark, the knight of, or king of wands, and star comes next.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting. I'm jumping around a little bit, but I definitely see pairings in this reading.
Mm-hmm.
Death and the Hanged Man, to me, go very naturally together. The Earth, the Star, and the Sun, to me, go together. Because to me, the Sun, I mean, this is a very personal take, but to me, the Sun is a very personalization of the hope of the Star. It's the, you know, your own personal manifestation of that hope.
It's the Star in your face.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the one that can burn you.
Right. You're literally taking to wish upon a star.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, this is the first time.
We also have the Ace and the King of Wands. the beginning of the Wampanoag, the end of the Wampanoag. That's kind of like a full cycle.
Yeah, if I may say that this is the first time the star has appeared.
Wow. Wow.
So I was right about that.
You were right.
Yeah.
Wow.
You were right, because I scan in all the cards. And I have a folder of the card images as we need
and the
them.
Star's not there.
And the star's not there.
Yeah, wow.
Also, if you could pull up last week's, or not, the 2 weeks ago.
I wasn't there, so.
Okay. If you can get it, you see that there are almost, I think, four cards that are the same.
Really?
Have repeated themselves.
Wow.
Yeah, the sun.
The sun, the lovers.
The lovers.
Ace of Wands.
Ace of Wands.
And Hangman, I think.
Wow. Hangman, yeah.
Wow. In different positions, I assume, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the way Paul reads the arc of influence.
As the future, yeah.
As the future, you know, in theory, the sun, the ace of wands, and the hangman. Am I right, Johanna?
Yeah, well, you got the sun, the ace of wands, and the hangman, and how it influenced the lovers.
The commentaries on the lover, yeah.
Yeah, it's a commentary on the lovers and what that one future card, the outcome card, has to say. So some people will have, sacrifice. Some people will have, which is the hangman. Some people will have the ace of wands, whichever way you want to interpret the ace of wands. And some people will have their needs fulfilled, the sun. Because
I tend to see the sun and the hangman as unfolding the ace of wands.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be the foundation of the lovers. The lovers, the choices that they have to make, sacrifice or fulfillment, I suppose.
And it's interesting to me, looking at those three cards in the Arc of Influence from an elemental perspective, we have fire, water, and then the lovers is an earth card, correct? Am I remembering that right? No.
Joy. Is the lovers an earth card planetary?
It's Gemini, so it would be an air card.
It's an
air card.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to me that we have two fire cards leading to water. You don't think of fire leading to water, but, it kind of does. And then that, in turn, together, those three together lead back into the air element. So it's all a matter of, literally, it's all in your mind,
By the way, they can all survive.
Yeah.
To go to the card that was puzzling most is the hidden motivation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The six of discs.
Which has the sacred.
Rose.
But
if you look at the actual structure of the card, you'll see that it actually fits the mandalic structure of many of the pictures that were in this, particularly during the Promethea.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Soliloquy. So what we have in the Prometheus soliloquy, giving this, and in some ways, what it is it's sort of a shadow statement of many, many of the deep initiations that we've had over the months when they were traveling through the immateria, and they went through all those different meanings, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff was explored at great length, and this soliloquy just touches upon those themes very, very lightly.
Yeah.
It's stuff that we dealt with at great length.
It's a summation, sort of.
Yeah, in a sense.
The world likes to refer to this card as someone giving out rewards.
Right.
Kind of thing. I think that may be more the cups.
Yeah.
The six of cups.
No, I think it's the six of pentacles.
Six of this.
The six of pentacles with the sacred rose is unusual benefit coming out of the blue.
Oh, wow.
Power of abundance.
Yeah.
Like things finally getting balanced.
Yeah.
Like you're going the next stage.
Yeah.
Through the help of karma. You know, you did good, now you're going on. Let's go. That's, cause I love that card too. The six,
yeah.
In my
know,
day.
I've always looked at this as Six of Pentacles also in any deck as a card of, not exactly reciprocation, but a card of completion, in that in order for one person to give, you have to have somebody else willing to receive.
Right.
And in order to receive, you have to have somebody else willing to give. Both sides of that are definitely needed. So I think you have to be open, you know, the hidden motivation here of success is you have to be open to both giving and receiving. And a lot of successful people, a lot of people whom people view as wonderful people aren't people who take gracefully. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But I think
they don't.
Really
they're not comfortable receiving.
Yeah, my dad was
But they like to give.
Exactly. Exactly. And
giving is a sense of power. You know.
When my dad was really, really, really ill with cancer, he was so worried that he was being a bother to people. And I said, Dad, sometimes the nicest thing you can give to somebody is to let them do something for you. You know. He never got that. All embodied in the Six of Discs. It is a success in a way because, you know, you can't have true success all on your own. You have to be giving and receiving. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at the top six of this, the sacred center.
Yes. There's your rose.
Mm-hmm.
White rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. What are the symbols?
And this deck heavily influenced.
Yes. You see, also, well, you have the tree here. Believe it. Yeah. The tree's here. The saw, you know, and the whole tree.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Now, you said something interesting before, Johanna, about it's amazing that there's no Promethea deck.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because it gives, it's not open for interpretation. Alan Moore is telling you the story. This is the story. There isn't that much leeway in terms of a reader and a client interpreting.
I know, but I think it still can be done. I'm sure. I'm sure it can be done. It will be a project, that's for sure.
Yeah.
A big project, but then, you know.
What's that? What's that?
To do a Promethea.
A Promethea Tarot.
Oh, you mean to do a Promethea Tarot.
Right. For Alan Moore to do a Promethea Tarot, right?
Oh. Yeah, I think...
I don't know that he really wants to. I think he's
obviously
with the
doesn't
thought.
Want to.
Yeah,
right.
You know.
Yeah, I don't think that's what his... I think the thing that Rachel was with us,
yeah,
she emphasized a great deal, which was useful, I think, and the real motive for... Alan Moore, and I think in some ways she's in agreement with it, was the issue of the story.
Right.
And
right.
The imagination. And it's sort of like, you know, seek your own success in the imagination.
Yeah.
And I think that may be one of the reasons why there's some disdain in Rachel for the more dogmatic elements that seem to come out of, because, you know, dogma is a kind, is, you could say, is the do of, is the dog do of,
the dogma do
of the imagination, you know. In other words, what it is, it's people who have a little imaginative insight that
right.
attempt to,
right.
plaster the world with it.
Have you all seen the bumper sticker?
Like me, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Have you all seen the bumper sticker that says, "My karma ran over your dogma"?
Yeah, right.
I love that. Yeah.
I think it's going to be very interesting going from here to going to Jodorowsky, because he has such a different point of view.
Yes, this is true. It's kind of the I like to jump from a con.
be doing that.
Yeah. We sure will. And the article you sent on Enrica.
Yeah. Have you been following his blog? Because he and I had a little exchange.
Right, in his last blog,
which was, and this was my last exchange with him. Except I corrected one line, because when I wrote it up, I'd reversed the images in a way that I needed to fix.
He somewhat like Jodorowsky is very into, you know, this is the Marseille comes out of a completely different tradition.
Yeah.
There's a very strong orientation, I mean, for Enrique Enriquez towards a mechanical view, but also a surrealistic view of the imagination. That the imagination often is, you know, imagination is sort of like wet paint that we have. And what we do is we get all these unrelated happenings to us, right? And we take the imagination of the wet paint or glue of our life and we paint them over these things and they all fit together.
Well, he was the second person who mentioned, I think it was... Eric, whatever, on Evolver, who wrote Technosis, who mentioned that the book about comics that I sent out from Salon, and Enrique mentions this text on how to read a comic.
You're talking about Eric Davis.
Yes, I was talking about Eric Davis before, but this, I forget the author of this text that I mentioned in the email, but
I'm sorry, Cindy, I didn't get that email.
I didn't send it to everyone.
Okay.
Basically, it's a book available now in softback before it was hardcover on how to read comics, and Enrica mentions, as did other people, that it's one of the best things you could read to learn how to read Tarot.
Oh.
So this to me is a very interesting segue in terms of what Promethea is about and what comics are about and Tarot. Because obviously Tarot has very comic book images often. And the space, the lines in between, and so on. And I think that really is a discussion, you know, worth having.
Yeah.
I got a note from David here.
Oh.
He says, I'm not going to be on the call this morning. I'm going back to bed. I had a miserable night. Saw a chiropractor yesterday.
Oh.
And my body went through several periods of severe cramping last night.
Oh.
I would be of little use on the call and could not focus. I'll call you on Skype later. I give my best to everybody, and I hope your Thanksgiving was a good time. Remember to be on the call on Saturday.
Good.
Good. It'll be good to have him on the call.
Definitely.
So, there was something else I wanted to relate to here. I was actually looking for Cynthia's email. I couldn't find it off the top. I wanted maybe to get back to the.
Well, the question is why is the medium of a graphic novel an excellent medium?
Because it's storytelling.
On the tarot.
It's storytelling. It actually helps you tell a story. I mean, God knows, my artwork definitely is influenced by the storytelling of comics and graphic novels, you know. It even goes into movies. Finally, I could tell when a movie is storyboarded or comes from a graphic novel.
And many movies now are storyboarded.
Because I've been storyboarded for years.
Yeah, but not the way the technique has actually come
out. Actually, there are more movies made from graphic novels now than from novels.
Yes.
That's the other.
Yes.
At the beginning, I mentioned two books, one of which I think is a reprint edition, The Book of Symbols, Reflections on Archetypal Images.
Mm-hmm.
It's being republished by Taschen, and I'm pretty sure it's a reprint edition. And then there was that other one by Yoam Kaufman.
The Way of the Image.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Way of the Image is actually pretty good. I suggest people get a copy of that. Yoram Kaufman's The Way of the Image, an Orientational Approach to the Psyche.
Hmm.
So.
Well, what's interesting simplistically about that is both Jodorowsky and I think Enrique, but certainly Robert Place, discuss body image,
mm-hmm.
and who's looking at who,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing.
Yeah, Bob Place did a workshop. That was
yeah,
part of
I work. Remember
that.
Video. Right. And Enrique and Jodorowsky both talk about walking around in, and standing in the positions of each card.
Yeah. Actually embodying the, the orientation of the card.
Correct.
Yeah.
Talking about it, and almost to have a physical, to get a physical sense. Of course, that's 78 cards in the Rider-Waite or Anglo tradition, and it's, let's see, 20 plus 36 in the Marseille and Italian.
Joy has left the conference.
So, you know, that's just... has anyone ever tried that?
Not other than a little bit while we were at the Reader Studio.
I think somebody was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I used to have people. This is a long time ago. We never did it too systematically because we were doing coven work, and I had people go into. And what we'd do is we would do these long, we'd get a major arcana card, we'd meditate on it, go into a visionary space with it. And then afterwards, we'd come out of it, and then during cakes and ale time, we would sit around and discuss what our various visions were. And
I haven't finished.
One time after talking about what our various visions were, we saw that we could very much make it into a skit.
Mm.
Right. So what we did is we got up there and played it out like a little a little acting thing,
mm-hmm.
and walked around and interacted with different characters as they were imagined different people playing the parts that they had envisioned for themselves.
It's like an improvisation.
It was an improvisation. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but you know, the idea of in the circle was specifically my idea behind it. I don't know what anybody else's thoughts were necessarily. I was trying to empower people to use their imagination but also to understand it as a place where they could explore things that were forbidden and also things that were things that they might need to explore, they might be afraid of or otherwise.
Or might not even realize.
Or power they might not have,
Well, this may be just the bleeding obvious, but a comic on Tarot or anything else is both verbal and the verb to be, because there's movement, visual movement. And the cards in the hands of a good reader also move.
Yeah.
But for many people are stagnant.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. That's the improvisation, that's the poem, that's the song.
Well, you know, I think part of the reason that the cards aren't what you call stagnant, Cynthia, is that people get so wed to position meanings in particular spreads rather than looking at the cards as an organic whole. You know, the cards are laid out before you as an interactive organic whole.
Right.
Like, actually, sometimes I don't, I often lay out cards or put out cards with no spread in mind. And if one occurs to me as the cards are coming up, that I'll put them in a, I'll put them in position, or I'll set up a, put them in a certain mandalic form.
You know what, I have, I mean, I've found myself doing more and more lately, and it just kind of is something that has happened. I will lay the cards out in a spread with position meaning, but then when I'm doing a reading, I find myself picking up the cards and walking them around, almost like little puppets or something, you know, and they're interacting with each other. It's like, it is. It's like I'm playing with a chessboard or something like that, you know, where I'm moving pieces around.
That reminds me, I guess one of our projects could be sometime is to string up your favorite cards and have them like a wind chime.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
In a little wind chime moving around.
And you know, that's a great idea. To Kevin Quigley's method. Do you all know about his method of just throwing the cards up and see where they land? And
He wasn't the first one to think of that.
No, but I love the way he does it. You know, I mean, it's just like, see where they land. If one card lands on the window, maybe it means something, or the windowsill means something you're supposed to look at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of fascinates me. I myself am a little too anal to do that.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Me too.
Well, the way I do it is I have to throw the cards up, but then only the ones that land face up are the ones you actually read.
Oh, that's how
ones
I think
that are
I
face down. and then I give relative value to how close they are to the querent's body.
Yes.
Or if they're on the body. You know, those ones have more personal significance than the ones that are farther away represent.
It gives a whole new meaning to the term throwing a spread, doesn't it?
You know? Yeah.
I think Dan Pelletier talks about that in the process. He said a friend of his can read tarot with just sugar packets.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good if you're a diabetic, though.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, it gives you something to do with the sugar packets.
So,
I wonder if the same thing can be done with, you know, like sucralose, you know, sweet and low.
Right, of course. No, but I don't think you could do sugar packets. I mean,
so you know, we're getting close to this is, you know, this is the penultimate reading. We're only going to have one more reading for this series. You know?
It's going to be a little bit of withdrawal, isn't it? It is for me, anyway.
Yeah, it will be. We're going to be offline for a while. We'll get started sometime in January.
Yeah. Now I'm going to ask this question because you know I'm one of those anal retentive types. Should we read Jodorowsky's work ahead of time?
Yes.
Well, I
don't know.
You know. I couldn't have recommended it unless I had already read it.
I have not read it. You know?
No, I recommend you read it ahead.
Okay.
That one of the things is that I might want to try to do it where we're not going to. Meditations on the Tarot, it made sense to deal with the entire book and not skip around.
Uh-huh.
At least the initial reading through it, because Jodorowsky's is a little more schematic, and so we might deal with a section. We may not read the whole section that we're going to deal with.
Uh-huh.
So that would mean that it would make sense to read ahead, because that way, the points that you want to bring up may not be the points that are actually read or discussed, but still need to be brought up outside of the.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go through the book a little faster that way.
I can say that there's a dramatic tone, believe it or not, from my point of view, that I find strangely phrased and worded and very French.
Ah.
Or very Italian.
He wrote the book. I think the book was written originally in French and Spanish.
But my point is the tone is not, it's not the way I'm used to hearing things said, not even in translations of French poetry. The drama that he brings to things is very apparent.
Interesting.
I'd be curious what everybody else feels about it.
Okay, so should we start reading a chapter at a time ahead, or what?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, go ahead and just read through it. I would definitely read the first chapters with the autobiographical section.
Okay.
Because that'll give you a kind of idea. You could also look at some of his other books. His autobiography is kind of fun to look at. I found out from a friend of mine, old friend of mine, that his wife or his girlfriend there, the woman, has translated a lot of Ferlinghetti's writings into French.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there is that sort of bohemian.
Yes, you
definitely get that feeling.
Yeah.
You definitely get that flavor.
Yeah. So that's again. So again, this is going sort of into the. We're touching into the European tradition. European tradition is more agnostic.
Something that I'm curious about personally, one of the benefits that I have received from Promethea very early on was a new appreciation for the Toth deck.
Mm-hmm.
The Toth deck was absolutely closed to me before we started doing Promethea. I don't know why. I tried it. I've worked with it, tried to work with it.
It's Crowley's reputation is...
Well, that didn't really bother me so much. It was the deck itself. It was like it was mute. It would not speak to me.
Mm.
But once we started dealing with it in the readings connected with these calls, it just came alive. It just absolutely opened up to me. I'm hoping, maybe, that the same thing will happen with the Marseille deck, because that's another one that I don't relate to well. I kind of come to it digging my heels.
Oh, so we have to take out all Marseille decks. Any version of the Marseille deck?
I recommend the Calm One.
I did actually get a copy of that deck, so I feel like I'm ready to roll.
Oh, boy, I have to see if I have the Calm One. I think I do. I think you gave me one, Cynthia. A long time
now,
ago.
Now, I have a question. Are we also, we had talked earlier about doing in tandem with this Rachel's book,
yeah.
Which one did we decide on?
We were still pretty much with Rachel's Pollack's Tarot Wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now her that one is it's a rehash of Way.
Oh yeah.
Of her
78 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also she also is open to more than the writer weight. More than the writer Wade Smith in as far as the images go. And she
Well, the book is really much more about her. Is it Shining Tribe?
Yeah.
She talks more about the Shining Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But she also talks about a lot of other decks and also using heavily what's his name's book, the guy who did the the mystical origins of the Tarot.
Oh, Hewson?
Yeah. She used Hewson's historical stuff a great deal in the Wisdom, Tarot Wisdom. And I think she did it as a workshop that she did every few weeks or something for a couple of years. The Tarot Wisdom book.
Well,
we're going to use it probably, in other words, if we're dealing with a theme that's such and so, instead of reading Rachel, side by side, we're going to use Rachel as a commentary on Jodorowsky.
More of a referential kind of thing.
Yeah. We'll see how it works out in time. We're also are going to continue with our tarot readings.
And are we going to be using the Marseille for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think in a way the readings with Promethea have definitely been wisdom readings.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree.
And I think that we'll probably continue with wisdom readings with Jodorowsky and Rachel's book.
But you find with the Marseille, and certainly Enrica discusses it, the Marseille is a very minimalist.
Yes.
The Italian tarots are much more florid, even compared to the Marseille. The Marseille deck is very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
The faces are non-expressive.
Right.
And of course, it's non-illustrated tips.
Right. They're much more like a regular deck of playing cards.
Much more like a regular.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned the Tot, for me, I still have not bonded with the Tot.
Really?
I think the majors are gorgeous. What I find to be stunning are the court cards.
Yeah.
To me, they embody such an energy.
Yeah.
And that I find extraordinary. I find the court cards to be an extraordinary contribution. I'm not happy with the words, you know, on the...
The keywords, yeah.
Yeah. I think they're very non-productive, but that, whatever.
Okay.
I find them provocative.
Yes.
Either I agree with them or I don't, and either way, it makes me think a little more about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crowley likes to push buttons.
Yeah. He's a good button pusher.
Yeah, he's a good button pusher. And if you know that, it's like a shrink that you've been to for a very long time and finally says, okay, enough of this crap. I'm going to start pushing your buttons.
Right.
To get a reaction. You know,
right.
My mother didn't understand me. My father, and ay, 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 okay.
Well, have you seen the commercial?
Yes. Well, that's what my husband says I am. My
I'm going to have to start that over again.
Okay.
There's a commercial, I forget for what. They show a Marine being the psychiatrist, and some guy is starting to cry, and he throws the box of tissues at his client, and he goes, oh, will you stop whining, something like that, you pansy, and grow up.
Yeah, it's a commercial it's one of those Geico insurance commercials where they say, can you really save 15%, blah, 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 and they says, and then the question is, does an ex-Marine drill sergeant make a lousy therapist, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, my husband accused me of being the ex-Marine drill sergeant.
Uh-oh.
Yes. We've had our battles, especially when he gets in his dark moods. There's no way of, I get to a point in which the sympathy goes out the window,
Exactly. Just like, oh, come on.
Your life is not that bad, you know? And if you really feel it's that bad, then you need medication. So go and get yourself to the doctor and get some Prozac or something.
Quit whining to me.
Well, that's amazing. Somebody just bought a book from me for $170.
Oh,
wow. What did they buy?
Jews, Christians, and Jewish Christians in antiquity.
Where do you have that listed? On, like, Amazon or something?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, it's obviously bought as a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, the book itself is $300.
Yeah.
And somebody else bought earlier a book called Wisdom's Root Revealed, which is... I knew the book pretty well and have looked at it and read a lot of it over the years, but decided not to keep it. It's commentaries on Old Testament.
Now wait a minute. I heard Paul say the words "a book" and decided not to keep it all in the same sentence.
Yeah, Wisdom's Root Revealed.
How did that happen?
If you saw how I lived,
Yeah, Paul and I, every so often, yeah.
Yeah, what it was is, that, you know, yeah, I got all, yeah, let's turn off the, let's turn off the tape.
Okay, hold on, turning off.
Oh my,
yes, okay, hold on.